we can deal with the fact of the Arab hijackers of the aircraft on 9/11. What we won't admit, what we can't deal with, is the connection between those hijackers and their bosses back in Afghanistan or Pakistan who are connected to Moscow. And of course, it doesn't. Most of the hijackers were probably sincere Islamists. I do have information from two Czech sources. Captain Vladimir Huchin was a Czech intelligence officer who was arrested months before 9/11. He had information about the connection between the Czech intelligence services and Arab terrorists. And one of the things that he told two people that I've spoken with, Peter Sobolka, a Czech political activist, and Hanza Molina, he told them both that he confirmed that Mohammed Atta, the head terrorist of 9/11, was trained in a communist terrorist training camp at Zastavka in the 1980s. So the actual background of Mohammed Atta, if this report is true, may be different. That is, he may have posed as an Islamist to integrate into this organization, but he may have had another allegiance. And the same, of course, Litvin Echo's report on Ayman al-Zawahiri. There is also something that everyone can look at, and it is from a book written almost 18 years ago by Vladimir Rezin under the pen name Viktor Suvorov. His book was titled Spetsnaz, and in it he described the beginning of World War III as having a preparatory period called the Overture, or Grey Terror. And he describes it, I've got a quote of it on my website, he describes that Grey Terror is a period of terrorism in which the terrorists do not commit their terrorism in the name of Russia or its special services. They have other names. They work for fictitious or real terrorist organizations that have no apparent connection with Russia.
But what's their motive? I mean, why would the Russians be doing this?
Envy of America, malignant narcissism, state criminality. Why did Russia do all the bad things it did during the Cold War and under communism, invading its neighbors like the Eastern European countries that they kept under their boot for so long, invading Afghanistan, killing a million Afghans? Why? Well,
because that was a totalitarian regime, and in order for a totalitarian regime to survive, whether it's fascist or communist or whatever, it requires complete control over the minds of the subjects. And
yeah,
so that means... But so that's why that was then. Now you have a much more open society. You've got, a relatively free press. You have...
No. Russian television has been taken over by President Putin, who is a former KGB official. In fact, he's the former head of the Russian secret police.
Well, okay, I know who he is and what he's done, but I'll give you an example. This week,
uh-huh.
You have a story of the downed sub, seven men trapped in a sub off the westernmost shores of Russia, and you have, So there, they got a phone call to the local media saying there are seven men trapped in a sub. That media contacts a national news agency. Suddenly, they break the story. There's national pressure. First, the Russian government officially denies it. Then they decide, and that's how they got the story out, which ended up saving those guys. That sounds like a very uncontrolled media.
Well, a book just came out by two Washington Post journalists called The Kremlin Rising. It's out in hardback now. You don't have to take my word for it. Take the Washington Post's lead correspondents in Moscow. They have a detailed description of how the Russian press is controlled. It's not the same as in the old Soviet period, of course,
okay.
But it's still controlled, and intimidation is used. They have freedom, but they still are on a leash. They know that there's going to be consequences if they overstep certain bounds.
Well, again, I'll go with that, but that sounds different than totalitarian communist Russia, which wrote the stories and then handed them to the news media. I really want to get to that idea, though. The motivation is just then out of criminality, just to do it, just a thumb in the United States eye.
Well, no. Russia's a great power, and great powers from all history have had competition. You had Rome versus Carthage. You had the barbarians versus Rome. You had France and Britain fighting for many years. You had Germany erupting. This is the way history works, is major powers erupt against other major powers. The major power that wants to be number one is only number two, can only get the number one position by shoving aside the number one country. And if you look at Russia's moves across the board, I think you will find that Russia's alliance with China, Russia's manipulation of the price of oil, its new alliance with Saudi Arabia, its move together with China into oil-rich Venezuela, and Hugo Chavez, a friend of Fidel Castro, all of these moves indicate a larger strategy aimed against America's strategic interests.
Ian, if I could just jump in for a
minute. Please do.
Tying into the whole Al-Qaeda things, I'll bring up two situations. Number one, there's been a deadline set by reportedly Al-Qaeda affiliates for Monday, and there have been rumors now for the past month that a massive global terror wave is about to be unleashed in the near future, possibly as soon as middle next week. I'll get to that here in a minute. But second of all, speaking of Zarahari, there was a report that came out August 8th about his video that came out on August the 4th. As us intelligence analysts were looking at this video, they noticed the rifle that was sitting behind him. And at first, they thought it was just a simple Kalashnikov rifle. But as they noticed something, they noticed what appeared to be a little black tube under the barrel, quite similar to the American that are on M16 called the M203 grenade launcher. This was kind of puzzled and surprised a lot of intelligence analysts. As they analyzed the weapon further, they realized that it was not an M16 or any American weapon, that it was actually a knockoff of a Kalashnikov, a well-made, called the WZ-1974 Pali grenade launcher, which is only made in China and North Korea and is only given to their elite security services and has not been used in any of the old conflicts supported by the old Soviet Union in the various world conflicts in the 60s or 70s. And in fact, a lot of people who have looked at this video and recognized this weapon have never seen it before in the field of combat. So this has got a lot of people talking that somebody is supplying the Al-Qaeda with brand new weaponry with no problem whatsoever.
All right, and so we have some people hanging on who have some questions on the phone, and I'll go to them in just a moment. But what do you think is the probability, if you had to put a percentage on it, either Jeff or Wade, that Russia was involved in 9/11? What would you say?
I'd say 90%.
I would agree. I would say it's very high, and I believe that the impending attacks that are coming very soon are going to be are also going to involve Russian intelligence units as well and military elite forces.